I'm glad for the Lord, aren't you? I'm not be singing, brothers. I'm thankful for everything that he's done for us. May I say with the pastor, may the Lord richly bless you for everything that you've done so far and all the good things that have been done. I've always, I think this is the third revival that I've preached here at the church, to the best of my recollection, but I preached Camp Dove for I don't remember how many years in a row, but it was a whole bunch of them. And I found out one thing. I found out that Sister Maggard could bake an apple pie. Amen. And I found out that her granddaughter can bake an apple pie. And I kind of feel, I'm not resting the scripture, but I kind of thought today, I thought I was like Paul and Timothy, the spirit of thy grandmother's on thee. Amen. But I've been kind of enjoying it. I may have a little war going on between them. I got an apple pie from both of them in the last 24 hours, so I may play that up a little bit. I'm not a sweet eater. Really, most of the time, but that would be my one place where I would eat sweets, or I do eat sweets. And I ate so much apple pie today, I feel like Johnny Appleseed. Psalms chapter 26. I told Brother Aaron this afternoon, if he wants to keep the boys away from the door, he better not let them taste that apple pie. But I came home and got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, if they just get a taste of it, they'd die happy anyhow. Hallelujah. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Psalms chapter 26. Then I will read from Corinthians chapter 11 and then 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Psalms chapter 26. This is what it says. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We do understand that this is talking about the scriptures that we use when we are doing communion. For let a man examine himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Really, I just want part A of that scripture, if you'll allow me to put it that way. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Not somebody else doing it. You do it. Prove your own selves. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you so much for the Spirit and the power of God that we have felt in this house. Lord, as we sang together at the opening of this service, such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost inhabited this place again. God, don't ever let us get to the place where we take that for granted and are not thankful when you come down and visit with us. But Lord, you know that this service is not over and the most important part is ahead of us. So I'm asking you, would you move, God, around these altars by the power of the Holy Ghost? Would you open every heart and every mind? Would you let the Holy Ghost walk up and down every aisle and enter into every heart? Lord, would you not only anoint my mind and my lips and let me be a conduit from heaven, but God, would you anoint every person under the sound of my voice? Let every ear be open. Let every heart be opened up to heaven. In Jesus' name, we pray these things, and everyone said together, You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. I want to preach tonight for a little while, if the Lord would help me, on cross examination. Cross examination. Most of the time when we hear the term cross examination, we think of a courtroom and a law setting. And rightfully so, because that is where one part of a definition of this word does derive from, and it's where we get it. It is pertaining to a court of law. But that's not the only thing that cross-examination means. And the definition that I kind of want to use tonight, if you would allow me to, is another part of the definition of cross-examination. It is to examine closely or minutely. To examine closely or minutely. I'm just not. I don't like to go to the doctor. Does anybody? I just really don't like to go to the doctor, and it's got to be really bad for me to go, because I just don't like it. I think I'm a full-grown man. I believe I am. And I'm not up here going to boast around about what I think. Or, you know, I've heard people say I'm not scared of anything, and they're a liar. Because you can get in situations, you get scared. That's right. And if you don't, it's just because you don't have sense enough to be that way. But I don't care for it, but I have been in places and times when I needed that. I'm not against it. I don't want you to take that wrong. I'm not against going to the doctor. I just don't like to go. I don't like needles. You know, that's not supposed to happen. That's not the way things supposed to. That's not what the things ain't supposed to go in like that. It's not supposed to feel like that. I don't like it. But there are times that we have to go because there are ailments in our body, or we know that there's something wrong and we're not actually sure what is wrong, but we want somebody to tell us. Amen? And so we go have an examination. The reason we go is because we feel like we know there's something that is out of order in us, or maybe a bone is broken. I've had bones broken between me and my cousin. I was raised way out in the country. You're entirely too close to Walmart here where you're at, as far as I'm concerned. And I like it when Walmart's a long, long ways away. And I like it where I can't see the lights of town anywhere around. But see, that's just the way I was raised, and you don't have to agree with that, and you don't have to say amen. But if you shout, I would understand. But, you know, between my cousin and myself, between the years of 13 and 18, we had over 200 stitches between the two of us. And we was highly active. So there was times I had to go. I went with broke bones in a lot of places on my body, and because I needed somebody outside of myself to help me. Amen. And so I would go to the doctor, and the doctor would help me. I remember running one day up a path and going to play. Or we was kind of, I don't know that we were going to play. I was kind of grown up for that. But we were standing in the backyard, and I was barefooted. I do remember that. And me and my brother and my cousin decided we was going to race up through the woods to a place at the back of the property that was probably 400 or 500 yards. So we tore out running, and there was a path. They went one way, and I went another, and I come around the corner of that path. And have you ever been running barefooted and stepped on a stub? And you just stepped on a little stub, and, you know, maybe it didn't break the skin, but you thought it broke everything at first. You know, it hurt. And I thought I had done that, and I remember I didn't stop running. I kept running on my tiptoes, but all of a sudden, most time it'll go away in just a second. It didn't go away, and I turned and looked at the bottom of my foot, and I realized something was bad wrong. So I hollered at them, and they could hear me, and I know you can't believe that, but they could. And they could hear me, and I said, I'm going to the house. I've cut my foot. And I walked back down the path, kind of limped back down the path to see what I had stepped on. And laying there upside down was a mason fruit jar turned upside down that was broke off. And I had stepped on top of that, and it had cleaved my foot open. I needed a doctor. Hello? It was very obvious I needed help. But there are times that you go to the doctor and you don't go there because you know something's wrong. You go there for a checkup. You may have to go there for a physical, for a job. You just go there to get things checked out to make sure that you're just doing all right. Now, I am not at the age yet where I feel that a necessity. I may need it. I may need it, but I don't feel like right now that is a I may be dying for all I know. But right now, I do not feel like it is a necessity. But you go then so that they can inspect you and tell you that there may be something there that you are not aware of. They've got a machine. Matter of fact, they got whole lots of machines. And they will take what we call an X-ray picture. And I'm going to preach to you. I'm laying a foundation. They take an X-ray picture of you. And what an X-ray does, it reveals things that cannot be detected by the eye. Hello? They have the ability to look inside of me and see if there's something there that is not functioning correctly. They can look inside of me and tell me that there's something there that should not be in there. Something that is out of place, a growth, a tumor, anything that might be in me that I'm not really aware is there, but it just is. And I have no way of finding that without having an examination. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something. We are in need in the church of the living God today of having an exam on our own selves. You say, well, I don't see why. Well, you ought to, because I read it to you. It's up there on the wall. Examine yourself. How many has ever really got in a place and you've got, I remember one man, he was praying, oh God, would you turn the spotlight of heaven on my soul? And he was in great earnestness praying around the altar, turn the spotlight of heaven on my soul. And all of a sudden his prayer changed and he said, oh God, turn it off. Because when God really turned it on and he began to realize what was in there, he began to realize, I'm a lot worse off than I realize. How many have ever come to a place of personal revival and you got down on your knees and God began to deal with you? And it wasn't long till you looked around and you said, oh God, it's not my brother or my sister, but it is me, oh Lord. I am standing in the need of prayer. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, one day I decided I was going to pray about myself. Do you realize how very seldom that goes on? A lot of the time when we get down to pray, we have a prayer list. We pray and we thank God and we go through our little ritual and we ask God for all the things that we need and all these people that we need to get saved. But how often do you just have a prayer meeting where you get down on your knees and have an examination between you and God about where I'm at in my life? I'm going to tell you, a lot of times it will shock you what you'll find inside yourself. I wish somebody would say amen. I said it'll shock you what you'll find inside of your own self. And we seem to lose our ability. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little sign that you're needing to examine yourself. When everybody else looks like they're not doing very good, you need to examine yourself.
Oh, come on now. When you get critical of everybody and the preacher's not doing it right and the deacons aren't doing it right and the choir's not singing it right and the church's not doing this right, I'll tell you what you're needing to do. You're needing to get down on your own knees and you're needing to examine yourself. You're needing to get down in a closet of prayer. How often do you do it? How often do you get there in private time and say, Lord, I didn't bring anybody today but me to the prayer closet. I brought me. It's nobody else. Oh, I feel like preaching tonight. I'm going to tell you, we need to examine ourselves. Do you realize you can find times in the Bible where great men examine themselves? Jeremiah did it in chapter 17 and verse 9. And you know what he came up with, preacher, after he had that examination? He said, I'll tell you what I found out. I found my heart is deceitful. I found out I had a heart. I hope you'll help me. It's a deceitful above all things. I don't even know myself. Have you ever surprised yourself with something stupid you did? Hello? I didn't call. Don't get your hackles up. I didn't call anybody stupid. I said, you know you did something stupid. Brother Ralph Cox one time, he used to say that word all the time, except he called people that. Sister Kelly said to him, his wife, she said, Ralph, you need to quit calling people stupid. He said, I will as soon as there stops being stupid people in the world. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not here to call anybody else that, but I have looked in the mirror a time or two and said that to my own self. Amen. How many was it? Maybe it was in Sunday school class the other day. I told this, and I'm going to preach here in a minute to you. But one time there was a man had a dream, and he was walking down a road, and he saw the devil sitting on a big rock crying. He was just having a real party. He was crying, the devil was. He is having an awfulest pity party ever was. He's wiping his eyes. The man stopped at the rock in his dream, and he said, hey, Mr. Devil, what are you crying about? He said, I'm crying because all them people down there at the Pentecostal church are blaming me for all kinds of stuff I didn't do. A lot of the time the problem is just down inside of us. A lot of the time it's just that old nature gets to cropping up in us. A lot of times I just have not been destroying the flesh. Oh, this is not popular preaching, but it's true preaching. With the affections and the lusts thereof. And I've got to go back to the prayer closet and get down on my knees. I've got to go back to revival and get down at the altar. And I've got to say, I didn't come to pray for Brother Hurst. I didn't come to pray for the church. I came to pray about me. I need to do a little examination. The Bible said examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Where are you right now in your walk with God? Hello? If we examine tonight your commitment in light of where you have been in the past, what would the results of your examination be like? How many seen people that just got saved? I know I'm preaching different tonight than I have been. I feel different. Hallelujah. I get tickled at people that just got saved. They don't understand our terminology. You ask them if they're saved and they want to know what they're saved from. You ask them if they're born again and they may be like Nicodemus. He had no idea what that terminology meant. We have a lot of terminology we've been raised with and growed up around, and we just take it for granted. Everybody thinks like we do. But I remember one night that mom and them was holding a revival and a man got saved and he was from Massachusetts. Anybody know anybody from Massachusetts? How many knows that they say this? There's a mouse in the house. Get him out. Some of you didn't even recognize what I said. Let me say it for you again. There's a mouse in the house. Get him out. being interpreted, there's a mouse in the house, get him out. That's how we would say it, but they say things. And buddy, he had that brogue, and he got saved, and he didn't know anything about it. And they asked him how he felt, and he said, I feel like I've had a massage, he said. He didn't know how to explain it. He just knew he felt good all over. Can you say amen? He didn't know what to tell them, but what he was trying to tell them is something came in and something got out. Amen. God came in, sin got out. Dirt was in. God came in, dirt got out. Now I'm clean. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching a little bit right here. I'm going to tell you something. God has the ability to change your heart. He has the ability to come into your life. Hey, and though your sins are as scarlet, he can make them as white as snow. I'm glad to know a God like that, that has the ability to change men from the inside out. We get that turned around sometimes. We think it's going to happen from the outside in. Amen? But it happens from the inside out. God wants to deal with what is inside of me. Amen. I had a man walk up to me one time, and he said, I've heard that you're not holiness. I want you to come preach at my church, but I've heard you're not holiness. I just looked at him, and I didn't understand that. I looked at him. I said, what you see is what you get. Here's what I am. Amen. Oh, I hope y'all help me. He said, well, the reason is you don't have a clothesline message that you preach all the time. I said, well, let me tell you what I think about that. I think that's a preacher's responsibility most of the time. If God deals with me, bless God, I'll deal with it. But I said, I want to talk to you about your heart. What's inside of you? What's making you want to live like that? What makes you want to do that? I want to know what makes you want to, hey, come on here now. What's keeping us out of the closet of prayer? What's keeping us from worshiping God? What's keeping us, hey, brother, we ought to examine ourselves. Where is your zeal? Oh, brother, we've got wise. No. You may have wisdom on your timing. Hello? Do you hear what I just said? But sitting down and shutting up is not wisdom. Really, it ought to be the other way around. You know what? Instead of the new convert being the first one to hit his feet to testify, it ought to be us that's been saved and God's done twice as much for, and he's brought us, my God, help me, he's brought us through twice as many things, he's been twice as good to us, and we know it. Come on now, they don't know it yet, y'all might as well help me. He's picked us up when we was down, he's blessed us when we didn't think we could go on, and we ought to be the ones to jump up, say glory, hallelujah, hey, I'm glad I know God. Yet it's the other way around. Hello? It's those people that have just got saved that want to jump up and tell everybody. Maybe we need to examine ourselves. Maybe we need to examine our devotion. You know, this really bothers me right here. And I've heard this so many times through the years. Boy, so-and-so, they really used to shout. Boy, I remember when so-and-so first got saved and they was on fire. Hello? Are y'all here? Some of you wishing I'd quit. And the thing that bugs me is so-and-so sitting over here like this. Hello? And I'm sitting there thinking, what happened to so-and-so? Ha ha. I could use your name, but you'd get mad. Hallelujah. What happened to them? I'll tell you what's needing to happen in the church. Oh, help me preach. Is there anybody that remembers anybody back through your life that it seemed like, whether they did or not, that they shouted every time y'all went to church? Come on, raise your hand. You remember somebody in your life in the past that it seemed like they shouted every time they went to church? You remember anybody like that? Where are they at now? Hello? Where, you know what most of us will have to say? They are passed on and they're gone, and they are gone to their reward. Well, what about us? Isn't it about time we examine ourselves and see whether we're still really Pentecostal or not? Let me preach here just a little bit. Isn't it about time that we realize I have nothing wrong with you being stoic? I have nothing wrong with you being quiet until the Holy Ghost comes in. And then when fire gets on you, something ought to happen on the outside of you. Can you say amen? Isn't it about time we examine ourselves and say, God, show me where I am, and show me where I ought to be, and fill me with the fire of God again. You know what happens to us a lot of time anymore? Oh, I feel like preaching on this. What happens to us a lot of times anymore? Can you believe it? Sister so-and-so shouted tonight. Get the smelling salts out. It should be the other way around. Come on here now. Can you believe it's been 3 weeks and so-and-so hasn't shouted? That should bother us. Oh, y'all's going to set on me. But you know I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you God's coming back for a church that's alive. I want to be a part of that church. I want to examine myself. I want to see where I am. I want to see where I'm at in God's plan. Can you say amen?
I want to examine. Hello? I said I want to examine myself. I really got tickled the other night. I loved it. I got tickled in a good way. A lot of times when people get to shouting, I laugh. I am not laughing at them or the way they're shouting. I am rejoicing with them. Hello? And laughter is a part of my way of doing that. I'm not laughing because of the mannerisms they're taking or the way they're shouting. I'm laughing because they are rejoicing in the Lord. And I laugh when I'm happy. I don't know what about you. Amen, amen. But I remember the other night we was having altar service. I came over here and shook Sister Brock's hand, and she began to have a shakedown over there. You know what? She does not have the ability to shout like she did when I came here 15 years ago. Y'all might as well say amen. Said the physical strength in her body is not there like it used to be. I want to know who's going to pick up the slack and get inside of myself and say, God, why is it I can come to the house of God and everybody else feels like dancing and I don't have a shout in me? Hey, God, everybody else feels like running and I don't have a run in my God. Help me preach. Everybody else feels like rejoicing, and there's not much of a rejoicing in me. You know what it'd do a bunch of y'all good to do? To rear back one good time and say, whoop, thank God I'm saved. It'd scare people three pews around you, but it'd loose you inside, and you would realize I'm needing to examine myself and see if I've really got what I say I do.
Huh? Hallelujah. I'm going to examine myself.
Well, I'm preaching tonight on cross examination. To really have a proper exam, there must be an instrument involved that is outside of your own power most of the time. Hello? You can't go in. You can't go in your kitchen and lay down on your table and say, well, what are you here for? My wife came in and saw me laying out on the table. What are you doing? I'm having an x-ray. You are? You know what? The first thing she would do, she would look to see where the machine was. And then the second thing she would do is she would call the funny farm and get them to sign me up. Because there's something out there that must help me to see and hear. My God, help me. I'm preaching on cross-examination. Does anybody remember that? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Listen to what it says. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I'll tell you what we use as our instrument. It's the cross. I said, my God, help me. I said, it is the cross of Jesus Christ. I must look into the mirror of that cross and see who I really am. I must look into the sacrifice of the risen Savior to see who I really am down inside. And I'm going to tell you, when you put the cross and eternity in your examination, it'll change everything in your life. Did you hear what I just said? When you put the cross and eternity. I had a friend here a while back preached an unbelievable message on hell. There was a lady that was dying of cancer. He preached on eternity. I'm sorry. He preached on eternity. They sent this woman. She was dying. She was a lady that had been in church all of her life. But she listened to that message on eternity. And then she called this preacher of mine. Never got up out of the bed, her sick bed. She died there. She called this friend of mine on the phone. She said, brother, preach that message to everybody, everywhere. Because from where I am laying, there's nothing ahead of me but eternity, and everything looks different from here. Hello? When the cross is what is in the forefront of my mind, and the sacrifice of his flesh that he made, and I get to stacking it up beside my little petty wants and desires. Brother Heath, I just got to throw them out. And I've got to say with the Apostle Paul, this is what I want. I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I wish somebody would help me preach up in here. I'll tell you what will bring a revival. I'm not talking a revival that will last a week and be gone. I'm talking about a revival that 2 months from now, I'd call Brother Hurst on the phone and he'll say, I'll tell you what, there's still people getting changed in my church. You know what will happen? It'll be because somebody got on their knees and they examined theirself and they put the cross up there. Amen. And they put eternity up there. And they said, give me a cross examination. Give me an examination that is outside of myself. You know what our problem is? We want a cross examination. But you know the instrument we want to use? Everybody else. When I look, God, oh Lord, thank God I'm not like brother so-and-so. Oh, thank God. Hello? Lord, I know I prayed more than sister so-and-so over there. Hello? You say, preacher, you're saying so-and-so a lot tonight. I'm just not wanting to embarrass you, that's all. Hello? And we want to use everybody else
and the way they are worshiping and the way they are living and their spiritual temperature to justify where I'm at. But I can't use you and you can't use me. I've got to examine myself. I said, I've got to examine myself. I've got to see why I'm so proud. Amen. I tell you, that's such a stinking, sorry, low down, rotten, huge sin among us that it's unbelievable. We've got so proud. Amen. We can't hardly have a real move of God anymore. I'll tell you, it's about time somebody got over their stinking hairdo. It's about time somebody got over their stinking clothes and realize I need to examine myself. I need to look at myself in the light of God's word, and I need God to do something inside of me.
Hey preacher, you know your hair's messed up. I don't care. Don't make any difference. Because I got beyond what you thought a long time ago. Oh, God, help me to preach. Huh? When you think, oh, God, help me. When you think about him hanging there naked, beat within an inch of his life, literally. And a visage that was marred more than any other man. Come on now. And Hollywood's never even got close to what it really was like. Because you couldn't have showed it on a big screen. It made everybody sick. Come on now. When I think about what he looked like hanging there, and then I come to church and I'm worried about what people's going to think about me if I really magnify God, I need to do an examination. Y'all ain't feeling what I am. I said, I am needing to do an examination. I'm not needing to do an examination on you. I'm needing to examine me. Why is it? How many here's ever heard of Brother Clinton Denon? Anybody here ever heard of Brother? I like to listen to him preach. If you don't like that about me, then just get over it. It's all I got to say about it. But anyway, I like to hear a lot of different people preach. Old Brother Clinton, and I'll never forget. Anybody that you haven't heard his message on soldiers, you need to sometime. But I'll tell you, I remember him telling, he said, I went to boot camp. He said, man, he said, I thought it was the best thing I'd ever signed up for. He said, I signed up. Said they gave me a meal ticket and they patted me on the back. And he said, boys, this is the best thing I've ever done, getting free meals and they're patting me on the back. He said, till I got off at boot camp. I had an old Marine. You don't say ex-Marine. I've learned that. I had an old Marine in my church there in Jersey, and he said, I got off at boot camp. My big black sergeant walked in, and I had a picture of my mama laying there on a bed. He said, who's this? He said, it's my mama. Said he tore it up, threw it in the floor, and stomped on it. And said, I'm your mama. Said he looked over there and said, who's this? He said, that's my girlfriend. Said he tore it up, threw it in the floor, and stomped it. Said, I'm your girlfriend. You couldn't say that today, but they could then. Hey, listen at me. Brother Clinton had said, man, they done all kinds of things to us. They told us when to get up, when to lay down, shine our shoes, make our bed, brush our teeth, get up in the middle of the night, dig a ditch. Don't know why we're doing this, but we're doing it anyway. He said, I thought, my God, why don't you just give me a gun and let me go shoot somebody? That's why everybody's so mad when they get out of boot camp. They're so mad they want to kill something. Hallelujah. He said, listen here. He said, that morning on D-Day, when we were coming up on those shores of Normandy, and he said that anti-aircraft artillery began to sweep the deck of our ship, and my commanding officer hollered, hit the deck. every man that hesitated died. That's what Brother Clinton said. I've heard him tell it more than once in different settings. He said, every man that said, what? Huh? What did you say? Right now? He said, they died right there. And he said, every one of us that fell down lived for a little while anyway. And when the Holy Ghost starts moving at Union Road, and God says, Brad, run around the church. What do you say? Oh, I'm picking on Brad. Hello? When he tells you, why don't you just stand there while everybody's sitting down and just raise your hands and magnify God? What do you do? Could it be that we need a revival where we examine ourselves? Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost speak this to me today. Don't we need a revival where we say, God, why can't I just obey you in spite of what everybody may think? I'm not talking about getting out of order and out of the way. God's always a God of order. But I'm going to tell you something. We've got so orderly in our own minds that we have pushed God out. And it's about time we do an examination. Amen. You know why? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen to this. And verse number 17. For the time has come that judgment. Can I change that word tonight and say, but time has come that examination must come in the house of God, because I tell you what's coming in a minute, judgment's coming, and I tell their God, right, my God help me, if judgment is going to begin in the house of God, if I am going to be judged because of all I know, I'll tell you what, before God comes to do that, I'd like him to give me an opportunity to do a cross-examination on my own self. You know what the problem is today? Everybody is saved. Hello? Everybody. No matter what you do, you're just saved. Well, I'm telling you, if everybody's just saved, then what in the world is the use of examining ourselves to see if we're in the faith or not? If we can just live any old way and get into God's green heaven, what is the use of examining ourselves anyhow? I hope y'all help me right here. I feel like I'm boring you again. But listen, everybody's not saved. Hello? Just because everybody liked Michael Jackson didn't mean he was saved. Hello? Just because Whitney died drunk and high in a bathtub and they preach her into heaven, brother, that don't mean she went there. My God, help me preach. But Hollywood and the media and everybody else, everybody just going to heaven. No, everybody's not just going to heaven. I hope y'all help me here just a minute. I said everybody's not just going to heaven. I don't care what crazy Oprah Winfrey says. There's not a bunch of ways to get to God. There's one way to get to God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one door to get into the sheepfold. Somebody ought to help this preacher preach. I'm going to tell you, the world is selling us a bill of goods that said everybody's going to go to heaven when they die.
I. I tell you, there's just one way to the pearly gate, to the crown of life, and the prince who wait. It's the old crossroad on the way called straight. There's just one way to the pearly gate, my dear brother. Hey! Knocking on doors won't get you in. Shaking the preacher's hand won't get you in. Getting sprinkled won't get you in. Getting baptized won't get you in. Praying over crazy bees won't get you in. Are y'all hearing me? A confessional won't get you in. That won't do it, brother. There's only one way. I wish somebody had believed that. Say amen. There's one way. His name's Jesus. And if you're going to come in, you're going to have to go right by the cross and do an examination just like everybody else. Patsy Klein was in a bad car wreck. I'm not going to preach much longer, and I'm going to need help tonight. My wife is not here. Patsy Klein was in a bad car wreck in the hospital, and a Pentecostal preacher got to visiting Patsy Klein. Patsy prayed and said she'd got saved, and she told the preacher, she said, "When I get out of the hospital, I'm coming to church. I'm going to make a public confession of my faith, and I'm going to change my life." But during her recovery, her first song hit the charts. Her producer rushed into the room one day and said, "Patsy, your song, we've made it." When Patsy Klein left that hospital, she forgot all about the experience she had had. She forgot all about the examination that had been done on her heart instead of her body. She forgot all about it. One night at the end of the Grand Ole Opry, they always sang a gospel song trying to make it be religious. And it was Patsy's turn. Patsy Klein got up to the microphone and began to sing "Life is Like a Mountain Railway" with an engineer that's brave. "You must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave." And all of a sudden, Patsy Klein broke down into tears and took off running off the platform. Never finished. Very awkwardly, they closed Grand Ole Opry that night. And Jerry Lee Lewis was standing in the wings, whose daddy was a Pentecostal preacher. Jerry Lee Lewis said, "When Patsy Klein come by me," he said, "I knew what was wrong with Patsy." He said, "I knew what was wrong with her, but I wasn't in any shape to help her to do anything about it." He said, "In frustration of my own helplessness, I walked down to where her dressing room was, and she was sitting there with her head in her hands sobbing, and her husband or boyfriend, whatever it was, I think it was her husband, walked up beside her and poured her a shot of whiskey. She downed that. She was still crying, and he poured her another, and she downed that second shot and seemed to get a little bit of a hold on herself." Hello? Then they walked out to the airport and got on an airplane. And Jerry Lee Lewis was supposed to have gone that night, and he said, "I got right up to the steps and said, you know what, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going." And that plane took off that night, and it never landed. And while they was preaching Patsy Klein into heaven, Jerry Lee Lewis knew, "I watched her walk by her opportunity on a national stage." Are y'all hearing me? You're going to have to examine yourself. It's more than you do a good deed every once in a while. The question is, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Ooh, have you examined yourself lately?
God done an examination in Revelation chapter 2. This is what he said. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Because thou hast left thy first love. He was saying, I have done an examination and I realize where you're at. You have left your first love. How long has it been since you had? I remember coming home from school one day, and when I got close to the house, I could hear my mother. I remember going in and looking at her, and my mother was laying in the floor, and she was weeping like somebody had died. And I stood there long enough to realize, Brother Hurst, she was praying. And I came back the next day and my mother was laying on the floor and she was crying and like somebody had died and she was still praying. And I noticed that she didn't eat nothing that night, and I came back the next day and my mother was laying on the floor crying. And for 21 days I would come home and my mother was laying on the floor crying. She never ate a bite. She fixed food for all of us. And when it was all over with, I heard her say this. The Lord spoke to me and said, I lost my first love. How much would it bother you? Oh, this is different, isn't it? It bothered my mother so bad that for 21 days she laid on her face without eating, begging God to revive something in her that he told her was dead and she didn't even realize it. You know why it's so important that we do this, and I'm closing right here. You know why it's so important? Because church, there is a final exam coming. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me this evening and said there's a final result coming and all results will be final. In Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. There's no more time for self-examination. No more cross-examination. The examination time went by in revival at the 1st of March. And the books was open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the results are final. And there's no more altar calls. And there's no more coming back to see why I'm not as close to God as I used to be. You're headed for the final exam. I'd rather do a cross examination right now. I'd rather do a cross examination right now. I don't care how long I've been saved. I don't care what my name is. I don't care who my daddy is. I don't care who my mama, grandpa, or grandma is. Those things don't make any difference. I've got to examine myself.
while every head in the house is bowed.
We usually reserve this phraseology for a altar call to the lost. But although I am including the lost, I am talking to the entire church tonight. How would your final exam be if you died tonight? Would God say, you know, you used to pray a lot more than you did now. You used to be a lot more willing to talk out for me than you are now. And I think his question would be, what did I do to you to make you not walk closer? Just recently in my life, I felt it necessary, Brother Rose, to do a cross examination. And at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, I was crawling around on my knees, weeping and crying, because I did not like what I found in light of the cross. Preacher, was you doing great big sins? No, absolutely not. I just had let some things take preeminence in my life where he was not at the very top and sitting on the throne of my heart. And there's people under the sound of my voice tonight. He's not sitting where he has sat, but he wants to. There's some people here tonight, I feel like you're not saved. And you know what God's wanting to do? God's wanting you to come to this altar, and he's saying, listen, I know your sins like scarlet, but I'm going to make them white like snow. And tonight when you lay down in the bed and you do a little examination before you go to sleep, you're not going to be worried about dying lost and going to hell. You're going to know everything's right between you and God. But there are some people also under the sound of my voice that God would like to do a work in your life that would astound you and astonish your own self. But he's needing you to examine yourself. I'm telling y'all, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this house. The first altar call I want to give tonight, is there anybody here and you know that there's things in your life that's not right with God, and you know that you need to be saved, and you know that you need Jesus to come into your heart and wash some things out? Would you slip up your hand and say, preacher, I'd like to get some things fixed up between me and God? I see those hands. I see those hands. God sees those hands. Oh, God. We're going to give you an opportunity to come here in a minute. But now I want to see if the Holy Ghost drove this message into our hearts. Is there anybody here tonight? I don't care how long you've been saved. You would be willing to slip up your hand and say, I feel like I need to do a cross examination. I don't care if you're a deacon, preacher. I don't care what you are. I need to do a cross examination. Would you slip your hand up real high? Slip it up real high. You know what bothers me? It bothers me that the rest of you didn't raise your hand, because everybody in here ought to feel like they need to do a cross examination. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith.
Is there anybody that would like to break out of their pew down toward this altar and say, I'm coming to do an examination tonight. I'm not coming to pray for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I tell you why I'm coming. I'm coming to pray about me. I'm coming to pray about where my commitment is. I'm coming to pray about where my zeal is. I'm coming to pray about where my burden is. I'm coming to pray about where my shout is. I'm coming to pray about where my fire is. Oh
yes, sing, sing.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
You've heard the word tonight. He said, I'll save you. I'll forgive you. I'll be everything you need me to be.